talk, babble, burble, banter.
Humans use tools, but boy, one of the biggest tools that humans have used in our evolutionary history is language. And a new study on language has found there may be a way to trace language to a single source, perhaps all the way back to an ancient culture in South Africa. The birthplace of language? Well, how would you even begin to create such a study? Joining us now is Mark Pagel, professor of evolutionary biology at the University of Reading in England. He's a former professor and advisor to the author of the study I just referred to, Quentin Atkinson. Professor Pagel, good morning.
Good morning.
So language has a lot of constituent parts. There's the oral parts, the syllables, the mouth noises. There's the alphabetic. There's the vocabulary. There's the context and meaning. There's a lot to deal with. How would you even begin to construct a way of modeling language back to a geographic source?
Yes, well, what Quentin Atkinson did was to study the phonemes of language. Those are the basic sounds that we make. We think of our alphabet as having 26 letters, and each of those letters can make one or more sounds, and those sounds are the phonemes. And what Atkinson did was to establish that the further a human population had migrated from Africa, the fewer phonemes its language had. So, for example, if you go to the Hawaiian languages, and that represents a migration a long way from Africa,
sure,
they have very few phonemes, about 10 or 12. English has about 40 or 45, and some of the African languages have a very large number of these distinct sounds or phonemes.
Now, let me see if I can't guess what the dynamic is here. If you spend a lot of time speaking the same language over many, many centuries, you develop more phonemes, and why would you lose your phonemes, though, if you hop on a boat and head to the islands?
Yes, that's a very good point. And what Atkinson has identified is something that we recognize in genetics, and it's called the serial founder effect. And if you imagine that there's some diverse group of speakers in Africa, and the migration out of Africa happened because some smaller group split off from them and moved away, and then later on some smaller group split off from them and moved further away, and this was repeated over and over and over, each one of those smaller groups goes through what we call a bottleneck, and they might only sample some of the diversity in the languages that they're speaking, just as they only sample some of the genetic variability in their genes.
Ah, and so the oldest genes are the ones with the greatest variability. Similarly, the oldest languages would be the ones with the most sounds.
That's exactly right. And we find exactly that the African populations have the greatest genetic variability and the greatest phonemic variability in their languages. And the further you get away from Africa, genetic variability declines, as does the phonemic diversity.
Now, does this change at all? I know Atkinson didn't necessarily look at this, but does it change at all if you throw the alphabet and the written language into the equation?
Well, you wouldn't want to do that because those are very, you know, very recent inventions. And so if we think we've been speaking as a species for at least 60 or 70,000 years, and I'd say probably closer to something like 150 to 200,000 years, the invention of alphabets and writing and so on, that's only in the last 4,000 years or so.
Wow.
So it's relatively, you know, irrelevant to this.
That's an eye blink.
Yes, it is indeed.
I mean,
it's just an eye blink in our evolutionary history.
Well, then, you know, it even seems to me that humans have only been speaking, as you just said, for possibly 200,000 years. That doesn't seem like a whole lot of time either.
Well, it isn't in terms of the age of our lineage. I mean, the lineage that we call Homo or humans has probably been around for about 2 million years. But indeed, speaking is very, very recent, and it's probably something that arose only in our species, and then it equipped us with a tool, really, a kind of social tool that I think probably propelled us around the world. It's why we conquered the world, and all of the other species that preceded us ended up in one small area of the world where we would come along and displace them and move on and then adapt to new environments and eventually filled every sort of environment or niche on Earth.
Well, one of the reasons it's fun to talk to an evolutionary biologist is you can ask questions like, okay, so what must the first word have been? Was it about mating, or was it just simply, no, those are, you know, my skins over there, or that's my pile of meat and grain?
It's something we've thought about quite a bit, and our sense is that the first words probably were very, very simple words having to do with pointing to each other, like you and me and I, simple numbers like one or two or three, and simple nouns and verbs like stab or kill or run or gather, you know, the things that people were doing. And language has always been used to coordinate people socially, coordinate them in their cooperation and their activities. And so I imagine the first words were all about coordinating people to do the things they had to do when they got up every morning, which was to find food, you know, maintain their shelters and so on.
Mark Pagel is professor of evolutionary biology at the University of Reading in England. Is there any sort of technological dimension to this Quentin Atkinson study that traced language back to a possible source in South Africa, in the sense that we have new tools to explore and analyze language mathematically?
Well, what the study does is it simply uses the number of phonemes and their distance, you know, the number of phonemes in a language and the distance of that language from Africa. And then it sort of winds the clock back, if you will, and says, well, where would we expect the greatest variability to be? And the answer turns out to be we expect it to be in Africa. And in fact, when we go there and look, that's where it is. And so it's really quite simple. You're just sort of winding this clock backwards in time, and it's ending up in Africa. And the nice thing was is that it ended up in a place in the world where we think modern humans arose. I mean, we think modern humans evolved somewhere in sub-Saharan Africa, maybe even South Africa, we think now, something on the order of 150 to 200,000 years ago.
It's really kind of miraculous to think of that, you know, a couple of sentences produced all of the speaking words and, you know, aspects of language that we understand, including text.
Once a species starts to associate a sound with a meaning or an object, once they have the capability to do that, language just explodes. And we seem to have that ability to do that symbolic reasoning, and we seem to have the ability to kind of understand what's going on in other people's minds. And so it makes sense to us to try to use words to change what's going on in their minds, to manipulate them in some way. And so language really follows very, very easily after that.
Well, it's worked out really well for me in radio, Mark Pagel, don't you think?
Yes, I think people like us wouldn't be anywhere without language.
Mark Pagel is professor of evolutionary biology at the University of Reading in England, commenting on a study by Quentin Atkinson that traces, theoretically, language back to ancient South African languages, perhaps as long as 200,000 years ago. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.